This is color meditation part two, the secondary colors, but with a review of the primary colors to begin at. You can pull around wherever you can see what I'm doing, or what you're doing, because you're going to participate. You're going to be the doers in this. Color is energy. Sound is energy. We are energy. Our communication with color is something that is very internal, from the very center core of our energy. What Western civilization focuses upon is what happens in the eyes, what we receive visually in color, what we receive auditorily in sound. And that is not color or sound. And the lecture I'm giving Saturday, it fits for all of these. He saw, yet he was blind. He heard, yet he was deaf. And that is the nature of color about which we are speaking tonight. It is the color that we see from within. And it's what we sense. So I want us to leave the vision of the colors and join the feeling of colors. And once we do that, you have the inner sense of what we're doing. I want to go through the six recognized colors of the rainbow, the spectrum. And we did this last night with just what the color suggests to you. What does red? We'll go through these colors. We'll go through the three primary colors, red, yellow, and blue. And then we'll go through the secondary colors, green, orange, and purple. So I'm going to draw a line here. That's a good straight line. Okay, what does red suggest to you? Whatever works. We are textile people. Okay, I'm going to put yellow right underneath this. We'll leave a little room in the red for anything else. All right, yellow. What does yellow suggest?
Clarity. It's funny we use the word. We have the blues.
Have the blues.
Made me think of it in the depths.
Right. That's right. Okay. Have the blues. Other quality. That says blues. That does not say blues. Wow. Blues. Mm-hmm. Moody. We have moody blues, but that isn't quite the same thing. Okay, anything else for any of these? What about focus on yellow for a minute?
Intelligence.
Healing.
Growth.
Welcoming.
The nurturing just be another word.
Yeah, nurturing.
Growing on growth.
Well, nurturing and growth are a little different, aren't they? Here.
Playful, I would say.
Orange is a tough color.
High energy.
Spontaneity.
Spontaneity.
Okay.
Could you just get a tad bigger?
Hmm?
Nancy, could you write just a tad bigger?
Oh, yes, I probably could.
That's all right, it's just getting a little small.
Okay. I just want to check my spelling. A-N-F-T. Yeah, there we go. Oh, purple. Got some very good feelings of these colors. Okay, purple.
Love. Passion under there also.
Majesty.
Mystery.
It's not getting very big, is it?
Sacred.
Sacred, okay, we'll try that one large. That's the only one that'll stand out here.
And it's interesting, too, to know, excuse me for interrupting just for a minute, whether or not culturally we attach these cultural values to the colors, and that's why we're perceiving them, or if the color themselves evoked that in different circumstances of life.
That's a good point.
You know, you could look at that.
Now, when you said love, I thought, yellow and orange, light, passionate.
Or even red could be love, but for me, for some reason, purple has maybe a deeper...
When we talk about the colors, we may see why.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Red is kind of the love, the lust, passion love, but the purple is almost to me more of a real, you know, divine love or something.
Mm-hmm. And that's a very good point. Hang on to that when we get to where we're headed here. Okay, anything else you'd like to add? And we can add later on to these. These are excellent. Okay, this leaves us a good lot of room here to... Okay, now last night, and I'm going to use my... I sat and took some notes today that I want to be able to share here as we go along. I'm going to put red. I'm going to put yellow up here. And I'm going to put blue over here. We'll talk about the primaries first.
Nancy's pink or red?
Pink is a red, yes. I would like, if we have time, to meditate on pink because it's a softer red, it's a meditating red. And it's a nurturing red. It's one that you can wrap in when you have a cold or you need mothering. This is a very good color to wrap in. And when somebody says, I'm in the pink, you know, it's kind of a toasty feeling of goodness.
And excuse me, when you say wrap, do you mean literally try to find something?
Yes, that's what we're going to do. Yes, you can have a pink blanket.
Or just visualize it?
You can visualize it. For patients and so forth, they're actually put into a certain color hospital gown in a certain color room. Because if you remember that color is energy.
Soft pink or a hot pink?
Soft pink. Yeah, very different.
Okay, soft.
But people will say, well, I can't see it. What does it matter when I go to sleep? Mm-hmm. that color has an energy. Just like plucking a violin string and you see it. That's what's happening with color. We're going to talk about this now with the primary colors. Primary colors either exist or they don't exist. Anything added to a primary color is a secondary color. If you add any amount of yellow to red, it's a secondary color. The primary colors are pure. When we talk about red, it is the lowest pulsing color on the spectrum. And when we see the rainbow, red is the first one. It is said, and I did say this the other night, in earliest civilizations, there is evidence that only red, orange, and yellow were visible. That green came along with the greening of the better part of the world. And the higher colors, the blues and the purples, are later, you know, fairly recent evolution. And we do have a color called indigo, which we are not able to perceive. It's a combination of the secondary colors. It is in black, and if you put black next to purple, between black and purple, you can see another color. It's one that we are not able to see yet, just as the dog whistle is way up here. We do get into tone. Perhaps not this quickly.
We get mood into tone.
It's, yes, and it's a very deep spiritual color. But red is on the other extreme. It is so low vibrating that it's clearly visible. And this, if you were to pick one of these three as being the life force, the lifeblood of humanity, it would be the red. And that's what this is. This is the life force. It is the pulse of life. And I learned the other night that the word Adam in Aramaic is blood in the face, the blush of man. And this red, I also have read, everything on this earth that grows. If you look when something comes out of the ground that's going to be green or any other color, it first will have red in it. Then the red gives way to green. Everything is red. It is the base pulsing of life.
Jesus.
It's marvelous. Now, let's relate this to what you've written up here. What have you got? Passion, heat, aggression, anger, strong feelings, excitement, warmth, bold. These are deep feelings. Very often, people also feel something that is somewhat cooler, which is possible. That is, it runs the gamut from people feeling peace to all of these that you've named. These are a high pulse rate. You know, when they are the heavy end of life. And when you look at these in comparison to the others, these are strong. And they're pulsing. And they also are deep feelings, deep life within us.
Nancy, can we move downstairs? Is that bothering anybody else? I asked him to turn it down.
I've contended that he doesn't play this for too long.
Yeah, discuss it.
And the problem is if we start into meditation and this is going on, then we'll go downstairs. And if it's bothering you, there aren't that many of us. and I'm sure the tape will understand if we unplug and replug and so forth. But the red does correspond with a deep pulsation of life. And of course, the blood flow is the main thing upon which our life is based. It is rhythmic, and it's continuous. When violent patients are put into some sort of a room, they often will have a great deal of red in that room to bring these patients down to the slow pulse of life. And it is the energy of this red, the slow energy of this red, that will pull a person into line, into life line. Okay. Yellow. Yellow is a little higher on the vibratory scale. And it does go exactly as the spectrum goes. So red, orange, yellow. It is a little faster. They get faster from the red. But yellow has a character of its own. And by next year, when we relate colors to a key, I can tell you what color that is. This year, I'm not ready yet.
Is that why we all have yellow notebook paper?
Absolutely. It's also easiest. There's a visual factor with yellow. It's very light. It's easy on the eyes. It's much easier than white. And there's a perceptual property there. And last night we talked about the fact that cabs were yellow. You could see them first. True, it's because yellow is lighter than other colors. In its primary form, it's lighter than a lot of other colors when tints are added. But yellow is a physical function of intellect and wisdom. And all of these things, clarity, happy, innocence. Now, innocence I'm going to circle, because I want to relate this a little later if I jump into what I shared last night. Life-giving, wisdom. On the intellectual plane, absolutely. Expansion, freedom, intelligence, all of those. It is a celebratory color. And it is one of freedom. Moving along not just the learning line of knowledge, but wisdom. Wisdom from whom? Of whom? By whom? It is God-given. It is the color I will later relate to the wisdom of Christ. And we have the halos. We have the ultimate wisdom, which is the bright white light. You come from yellow to a clear white light, you have something that is too brilliant to look at. A yellow white.
Well, the halos are yellow, but how do you aura that was often put around? Figures too.
The halo is the aura.
Yeah, okay.
It's continuous. Yes, it's manifested usually just the surface, but actually that halo is seen, it is seen this way, not
sometimes the whole figure glows, or you get that.
That's
all.
That's right.
That's really interesting. I never even realized that, how the paintings from centuries ago, the Byzantine paintings and everything, had the large halo like this. And that's actually what we would relate to the aura nowadays.
Well, it is. It is the aura.
But they saw something, right?
It's like
they saw much more clearly because we have turned this off. Mm-hmm. It's wrong to see this. I was almost thrown out of the Episcopal Church because I saw an aura and talked to the priest about it because it said this man was ready to die. And we needed to celebrate. And we did, and he died. And the priest was very accepting of this fact, but not accepting of me. And yes, they were hanging on the walls, but it wasn't okay to see one. But since you've seen it, what did it say? and will act on it, but you're still not okay. I thought, whoa, I am now a Lutheran.
We don't sue you.
Whoa, I am now a Lutheran.
That's terrible. I'm having trouble with the church's acceptance of this because it is something that is very natural. And the aura is the ultimate manifestation of wisdom. It is the moment of innocence. When you give yourself up, you are an empty vessel, and the Lord works through you. And what is coming through, and I saw this at the time of a couple of weeks ago, I don't see auras that frequently unless it's very strong or we're in tune or something. This was somebody I know quite well, and he was serving the communion, and every time he said the victory of our Lord, the victory, this is the victory, that thing just went this way. It was absolutely magnificent.
Can you relate that to the death experience that people have had when they leave their body?
That is the, yes.
And they go into death and then they return to life, and what they recall is this tremendous light that they do not want to leave on the other side, and they know peace of heaven or God.
The light of Christ. That is the totality. That's the color white. And it's total okayness and peace. And it's all color, which becomes white. But it's a very soft white that includes all energy. And that it's...
It draws them. They don't want to come back to Earth.
That's right. That's right. And it's the breakthrough of that... This is the one I drive across Stevens Pass to get me across in the ice and snow. Now that I have my truck, I can do it all by myself. But the breakthrough from the yellow to that white is what we're talking about here. Again, it's an energy, it's total energy. But when you have total wisdom, you are in innocence. Because yourself is not part of it. So this is a very good word here.
It's funny how we misinterpret that word. We almost use it meaning naivety or
it is too. It's
yeah.
Okay.
Total. Or we think of someone without intelligence or before they received intelligence.
Right.
Okay.
You're right on all counts.
Okay.
Doesn't mean dumb, does it?
That's the way we're using the, conceiving
it's,
the word.
If you consider intelligence on the learning scale, you have not learned anything on this earthly. You haven't gotten your A's and B's in first, mm-hmm. second, third grade. That's one thing. Wisdom is something else. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about wisdom. But this hits it right on the head. Okay, the blue. And from what we've said, what would blue be? Any thoughts? I'm going to go ahead and put these up here since we've gotten into this. These two are, as I've labeled them here, and then I'll talk about blue. What is this one?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Oh. Yeah. Does anybody else have trouble with the Holy Spirit? What is the Holy Spirit? This was the first time that this ever came really clear to me. The Holy Spirit is the will of God working through us. It is the wisdom of Christ working through us. These two working back and forth and everything working through us. That is the Holy Spirit, to give us this pulsing life.
And it came as a flame.
And it came as a flame. Mm-hmm. I hadn't thought about that.
And wind and rushing.
Right.
Energy.
Right, energy, the whole thing.
All right, blue.
Let's look at blue down here, what we have. Last night we added a few things. We added sky, water, which are two other things that might be there too.
It's interesting, the water is not really blue as it is. It's a reflecting
of
sky. Of sky, or
of
you
sky.
Look through and it's brown like the bottom, but we still consider
so
it blue.
Yeah, then it's interesting.
But it's really
but the moon that's described here, the serenity, the peace, the profoundness, the quiet, changing. Excellent. It is changing. It is reflective. It is cool. It's a very high vibration. It's the highest vibration. You get to a blue-white and it will rise.
Would that be like a high-pitched tone?
Yeah, exactly. That's right. And it almost, you get up high enough, and of course this goes out of the blue range, who knows, into the indigo. This is a whole other thing I've got to get into. But the dog whistle.
Right, yeah, we can't.
Yeah.
Doesn't blue get into ultraviolet and those
violet is a separate
X-ray?
Color. In,
okay.
In the studies I'm doing,
this
I'm finding,
vibration.
We'll talk about purple as a combination of red and blue, but violet is not a purple. Violet and ultraviolet have another source that we are not understanding fully yet.
Because they get off our range, because that's X-ray. And
that's X-ray and ultraviolet.
But when they talk about ultraviolet light, there is a blue light section also for protective lenses. Yeah,
right.
There's ultraviolet and then there's protection for blue light also. So.
Right.
Mm. So it's in the blue. Well, it is,
it is in the blue. It is in the blue range.
But it's off our range of...
Right. And then indigo is off farther. So the colors we know are red, orange, yellow, green, blue, violet. Or violet and indigo, and purple isn't there. I haven't quite understood what's happening here. But this is inspiring, uplifting. It is spiritual. It's very different from wisdom and intellect.
Mm-hmm. Can be safe.
Hmm?
Safe.
Safe? Absolutely. I'm going to put that down here. Yes, it can be safe. Very definitely. Let's see if there was anything else on the blue that I... I read one thing. I talked about the sky. Children ask, why is the sky blue? It's a very intelligent question. It doesn't have to be. We've tried to explain it in all sorts of physical matters. And again, it has to do with energy. We're talking about this very high energy. And we have an arch of heaven, as it's described in a 1914 book, that goes around the earth, protecting it, keeping the life force within. Can you think of any better source of that life force than God and the energy that is the spiritual being of God? I really can't. So we have the slow pulsing. We have the wisdom and the intellect, and we have the spiritual. Now, last night when I made this tie to the Trinity, it seemed to go very roughly. I've had to contemplate, and this came yesterday morning, that all of this came together. And I had studied this, I had studied the perception of color, and all of a sudden everything just there simply wasn't a knowing about what this is, and it's very easy and it's very comforting because we live the energies of the Trinity. Any questions about that?
I hope there are. Somewhere along the line.
It's funny to think of the will of God being constant. I wondered if that was a word. Even though it's the word changing fit in there too. Constant but changing.
That's true. Constant.
Absolutely. And why can it not be changing and constant? It certainly can be. These are the polarities that bring us balance within each color. When you come to words like have the blues or moody, this usually, or in, under yellow we came up with chicken, you know, or yellow-bellied or whatever.
Or we call a, yeah, he's yellow, somebody who's...
Right. These are an absence of the energy of that color. If you're chicken, you're afraid, usually it's something to do with the intellectual, you know, it's something you don't know. Or you're afraid of something, or yellow-bellied, or whatever. There are some facts you don't have. If you have the blues, you're without some spiritual guidance and comfort.
We should say we need the blues.
Yeah.
Instead of saying I have the blues, it should be I need the blues.
It does not include bluing in the wash. It's quite another light thing.
How about right, yellow when they get into relating yellow to madness?
Right, yellow. Yellow is the absence of wisdom. The madness is the absence of the intellect. And these people can, if they're not violent, be put into a very calming yellow room. It will also work with depression. But if someone is just off their rocker, it often is in the yellow range. And this is why the colors are used in the healing.
I was saying about what you said about culturally. I remember I had a friend last year who was from Bhutan, or her family worked there, and only the king is
Latvian. Only the king?
Only the king of the country. It's a real small country.
Supreme wisdom. Usually it's royalty. Well, when we talk about purple, we'll talk about that, because that's interesting.
Don't the Buddhist monks wear salmon?
Oh, they wear salmon. Yes. Now that's, see, the salmon.
Sort of a saffron. Right.
The salmon is a color that is called peach blossom in this book I was reading. Peach blossom is considered one of the colors that is a separate entity about which we do not have the ability to relate right now. You can't really create. Peach blossom is a separate color. It has its own energy.
Like salmon, you mean like a pink orange?
And we don't understand it.
Mm-hmm. But is that the color you're speaking
mm-hmm. of? We can make it out of other colors, but when we get there, it will change vibration, and we're not able to understand it. I'm included in that. I'm struggling with that, too. Okay, here we have, now, let me say before I start into this, that the three colors, the primary colors form three, which is a perfect union. You all know when you do flower arrangements or whatever that 3, 5, 7, 9, it works better. 6 is a harder number to work with. And I will talk about this as we finish this up. But the three is, as it is with the Trinity, it is completion, it is unity, it is perfect, and it causes stress between the points, polarities, which keep it in balance. So three is a completion, and that is the primary colors. Now we add the secondary colors to this. Let's start with orange. Orange is a combination, an equal combination of yellow, which would be the wisdom, and the red, which is the life force. So it's going to be earthbound. And yet it combines with wisdom.
So it allows you to have fun.
It does allow you to have fun. It allows you a balance between wisdom and life. So as we look at orange, fun, playful energy, spontaneity, it is a very outgoing color. It's a color that is usually one of service because the life force is balanced with the intellect. So you're not focusing on all the earthly stuff. It is balanced with the wisdom of Christ, and you have the empty vessel, and you have one of charity. And so this is usually called the color of, you know, the courteous, the service organizations and so forth. And what I've called it is the outstretched hand. Being the balance of the Holy Spirit or the life force and the wisdom. And it is another note that I wrote down. It is the Spirit given in earthly response. Now, so it will be literally service to other people. And in the 70s, a lot of decorating done with oranges. And then we added green, which was the life force, and gold, which was wisdom. And but this was a very popular combination to have the, and then it went to rust away from the oranges. So this does match very well with this, and the spontaneity. You can let go of the red, the life force. You don't have to concentrate on who you are and so forth. And you can be spontaneous. As a human being, this is not spiritually, this is in an earthly fashion. So you're right on with all of these. Okay, let's go to green. Green. No, let's first go to purple. Take that back. We're going to stick with the red play in these colors. What does purple combine? The life force and the will of God. Directly. The life force and the will of God. Let's see what we've got over here. Love, passion, majesty, mystery, sacred. The will of God working through humanity.
Mystery seems perfect.
It is. They all are. They all are. It is love. The king wears purple because he is the one who is the most spiritually oriented of his line. He is the perfect one by virtue of his lineage, of his heritage, and has been given, especially in the Western countries, by the will of God, he is vested with the continuing of the royalty. It mainly is a supreme purification. It is a purification by the will of God of what is the pulsing life force. So, of course, we have royalty. And we have the majesty. We have the sacred. The church picked up on this with the purple, which is kind of interesting. The kingship. and brought the purple very strongly within the church. And what our secretary fondly calls the prancing clothes at certain times of the year does include the lavish purple chasuble worn periodically in the Episcopal Church. And it really is kind of interesting to see.
About purple being our Lenten color.
Mm-hmm.
The Passion of Christ.
That's right. It is purification, isn't it? It is the ultimate purification, and this is the purple. The royalty, excuse me, the royalty and some of the ways in which purple is used very definitely applies to the earthly and the manifestation of man. But during Lent, that intense passion is the true passion.
Clad in purple raiment.
Mm-hmm.
Where's that from?
Revelation.
And that is the coming.
Revelations.
In Revelations. So, purification for the purple. And yes, in energy that does fit. Purple is getting toward a very high energy. It is. It's a very high earthly energy. The last one is green. Green is a combination of wisdom and intellect and spiritual will of God. And what is it but nature? Everything on this earth, it doesn't have to be green. Green is not an accident, it is an energy, a certain energy. And I will share with you, I have a friend who is an astrophysicist. And he works for the government and so forth, and we seem to have paralleled in our work. He from a lot more of this than I'm doing. I'm working with a little bit more of this. And Bob's wife called a little while ago, and she said, "You won't believe what Bob's doing now." I said, "Try me." He's done stranger things. He's growing beans in the closet. Bob was on the other phone. I said, he's doing what? I could hear Bob chuckling on the other phone. She said, "Yeah, he's growing them in the closet and there isn't any light." I said, "Oh, those will taste good." He said, "Well, there isn't any light, but they're turning green." Hmm? And I said, "Okay, Bob, what are you up to now?" He said, "It is not the light that makes the beans turn green. It is the rays of the sun and the energy." And she called, I talked to them last week, and she said, "Those beans were good." Last year it was talking to the onions. Well, Jerry Baker's known about that for a long time, but the energy that we pass through us is the same energy you can turn colors on onions and they will grow, or sound to onions, which is what our voice is. And the vibration is what we're dealing with.
Well, but I don't understand how the beans grow in the closet if they need sunlight.
They don't need sun. They need the rays from the sun. He filtered out the light. He used a garbage can somehow. I don't know how he did this.
But they did get some of the sun.
They did not get any sunlight. They got sun's rays. That is the form of energy that we receive. That feeds all light and all sound is born of the sun. But it does not need the light to do it.
Wow.
That creates heat. But they are in the process of proving that E equals MC squared is obsolete. There is another energy working. It's the energy that we're talking about.
Now you
in color and sound.
About the energy of water. How do you explain this phenomenon? When our children were small and were carving pumpkins, we discovered in an inner bathroom where there is no window, where when you're in the bathroom, the light is on. A few weeks after Halloween, a pumpkin vine growing out of the sink. They had washed a pumpkin seed down into the trash.
Sure, well, and that will seek light and seek the rays. And grow, sure, sure. They don't need the light, but they do need the rays.
Was it green?
Yes. And growing. We pulled it up and had roots and it had sprouts.
If you had left it, you would have been in trouble.
I know.
Pumpkins. And
just the artificial light on.
So we were learning something globally about energy and light. And this is a small part of it. But getting back to green, it is nature. If you ever want to be refreshed, go out and lie down on the grass for half an hour. The energy through that green is the combination of these two. It is refreshing, it is calming. Life,
peace,
healing, growth, welcoming, nurturing. All of the above, very definitely. I sat with my back against a pine tree today. That's another way to gain energy. For about 15 minutes, if you can stand the flies, lean against a pine tree. The pine tree and the green in that pine has a lot of energy. It's very physical, and it can pass through to you. Energy moves from one place to another. Lie on the grass. You will be energized and nurtured and refreshed. And it is the actual movement of this color.
Yeah, and we think of that in the way that other people give us or give us energy or take our energy too, but then we forget that even all other natural living things that grow and that have that same kind of life force in them also can exchange energy with us.
Absolutely.
And I mean, how often do we say, boy, I was just so drained after the conversation with that person, you know? Or being with another person just kind of excites you and really there's just an energy exchange definitely between people.
Oh, you can definitely sense it. And if you know what you're working with, if you know what this is, at least on the physical level of energy, if it is difficult for you to see the correlation of the spiritual that I feel belongs to it, the physical is very helpful. We have six now. We have 6 points. Six is a number of unrest. It is a number that it's like a 5-7 chord. You don't like to stay there. And if you have six of something, you'll try to group it. 5 and 1, 2 and 4, 2, 2 and 2, 2, 3 and 1. You'll try to do something other than, because you won't be able to work with six of something. You try to arrange a room with 6 chairs. It's going to look just sort of dead. Six is a number of change, movement, progression, heralding something to come. This is heralding something more to come, very definitely. And there are other colors in between here.
It's also the cross of David, the Star of David.
That's why it's the Star of David, because the Star of David intimates the mystery. The fact that you can't know all, it's not final. I mean, we think we have it all with three, with the Trinity, complete. We don't. Six is correct. If as far as knowing everything, we can't. There is more out there. There is something afoot in the universe. And we don't have all the information. And that's exciting. And it keeps the balance of where we are now. Okay, what I'd like to do... Now, we did some meditation last night. We have a choice. It's what, 20 o'clock now?
No, I have quarter to.
Quarter to. I'd rather have it 20 o'clock.
Yeah.
But I guess I can't. I will take you through a good meditation with two of the colors. Because most of you were not here last night, it was important to go through the whole thing and put it all together. And I think it's helpful, even if you were here, to just go through the whole thing. And this means that meditating on all the colors is going to be difficult. We'll all be asleep in this light and so forth. Do you have a choice of colors? We will do two well. I think I'll do red.
Green.
Green is a good second one. Mm-hmm. And if we have time and the bell hasn't rung, I will then go to blue. But once you have this meditation, you can do it. And what happens with this meditation is you feel colors. You see what they feel like around you, how close they come, what happens within the colors, where you are with these colors, keeping in mind what we've talked about. Okay, there's a process that we go through to meditate. I want your feet on the floor. If you're like me, they hardly touch. I'm going to be taller in my next lifetime, and I'll probably be enough to try chickens. I'm bumping my head everywhere. But we're going to center, ask the Lord's protection, and then we will wrap ourselves in color. Okay, close your eyes. And I want you to walk out into a field. And in the field is a platform. And I want you to walk over to the platform and get up on it. Sit on it. I want you to take a deep breath in and out, and in and out. As you're sitting on your platform, look out across your field, become acquainted with it, and now center on your platform, lean forward, back, one side, and the other, and come back up to sitting. Now a process we do is called clearing the spine. This gives clear, steady energy up and down the spine. I want you to bring a cloud over your head, a small cloud that has energy in it, and send a bolt of energy right down your spine. Feel it go all the way down to the base of your spine, back up, all the way down, and back up. When you can feel it go all the way down to the base of your spine and back up, let it go back into the cloud, and let the cloud go. I want you to take a minute to look around you from your platform. Register what you see, what kind of field you are in. This is your field, your platform. Breathe slowly and evenly. Deep breath in and out, and in and out. Now I want you to wrap yourself in red. This can be a piece of red material that you visualize wrapping around yourself. Or just the color red. Wrap it all the way around yourself on this platform. Reach out and feel the red. See what it does for you and to you. What does it look like? Okay, I want you to remove the red and wrap yourself in green. And look at the green. Put your hand out and touch it. See what it feels like. What is your mood in the screen? Okay, and unwrap the green. Now you'll have to come back. I want you to take a deep breath in and out, and in again, and out. You'll have to leave the platform and come back into this room. When you are fully aware of your surroundings, open your eyes. That is a terribly short meditation. If anybody is interested in how to do this again, I would be happy to take you through these again. This is a very helpful way to experience colors. And it'll change. You'll find, well, you know, how do I feel about brown? Well, go into meditation and wrap yourself in it and see what it feels like to you, or a particular shade of a color. See what it feels like to you. And what's happening is that you are reacting to the energy, not the physical color, but you're reacting to how that interrelates with you, and there are colors that will match your energy. Those are the colors you will wear or have in your home. Sometimes they're the colors you feel you should have in your home, and then you're not happy with your home, and you know where your energies are stretched. Well, I can't keep you with Vespers coming, but thank you very much.